Hey, today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Dalet. Good morning, everybody. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Torah of Amster and Feiner families in honor of Usher Stein and Shirley Wiener, who are both serving in Sahal. So thank them very much for the sponsorship as well. And we thank Usher and Shirley very much for protecting Am Yisrael. And it's also sponsored by Torin Rutner, Li'ili Nishmas, his mother's fourth yard site, Anna Rutner, Sarah Bas Yom Tov, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding about 19-20 lines from the end of the page in Daf Nun Gimel and Beis at Tanur Rabbanan. So we're first going to go through two different stories where there's a machlokas whether the people that the stories are about should be praised for what happened in the story or should Dafka not be praised for what happened in the story. Then the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of what Levuvin means, because we said that Zecharim are Yotzin Levuvin. But what does that mean, Levuvin? Then the Gemara is going to define the term kivulos and kivunos, which also came up in the Mishnah. The Rechelim are yotzos kivulos, and we mentioned kivunos as well, fastened. What does that mean, to be fastened to something? And then we're going to paskin on the issue of the izim yotzos tsruros, of the goats that went out with something covering their udders. And we had a few different opinions in the Mishnah, so we're going to clarify the opinions and paskin on those opinions. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to discuss what a camel can and cannot go out with. We're going to define the term akud, as in akeda. What does it mean to be bound? What does it mean when a camel is bound? The Gemara is also going to discuss the halachos of a leash, in terms of how one can carry a leash, both in terms of isurim relating to klayim of the leash and isurim relating to Shabbos relating to a leash. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss a lot of different items that a lot of different animals might go out with, and which ones you can and cannot go out with. Then the Gemara is going to explain in detail each one of these items. And then in the middle of the page, the Gemara is going to have four different explanations of chanuno. So Rachel is not allowed, it can't go out chanuno. So we're going to have to explain what that means. And then at the very end of the daf, we'll see if we get to it today, we're going to discuss the matter of the paraso shol Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah apparently had a cow, according to the Mishnah, that went out with the Ritzua Shabin Kranel, and the Chum weren't happy about it, so we're going to discuss what the story really was with the Paraso Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So let's begin again about 19-20 lines from the end of the page. Tanu Rabbanan an Daf Nun Gimel and Beis. Tanu Rabbanan Maisa Ve'achad Shemesa Yishto V'Yinicha Ben Linok. A person's wife died, and she had a child that needed to be nursed. V'lo Yishlo Schar Menikah Litein, but he couldn't afford a wet nurse. V'nas L'Neis V'Niftachol Dadin K'Shnei Dad Yisha Ve'Heinik Espino. And a miracle happened. He began to lactate like a woman, and he was able to nurse his child by himself. So Amar Rav Yosef, Bo Rei Kam Gadol Amzeh, Shnas L'Neis Kazeh. How marvelous, how wonderful this person is, how great this person must be, that such a miracle happened for him. So Amar Abayi, Adrabah, Kam Garua Adamzeh, Shemshan Lo Sidrei Bereshis. No, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle, that's not a good thing, that Sidrei Bereshis had to be changed for this person, that does not reflect well on the person. Amar Rav Yudah, Bo Rei Kam Kashim Zonosav Shal Adam, Shemshan Lo Sidrei Bereshis. That look how difficult it is to provide parnasa. Look how, what a serious matter it is to provide parnasa for a person. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sooner willing to be Mishana Seid the Bereshis than to give the guy a higher paying job so that he'll be able to pay a wet nurse. Amar Rav Nachman Teda, the Misrachash Nisov Lo Ibru Mazone, that a miracle happened rather than just giving the fellow Mazonos that he required. Tan Rabban, another story. Maisa Bad Mechat Shnosi Isha Gidemes. A man married a woman who was missing a limb, velohikir ba adyomosa, and he didn't even realize that she was a balas mum, that she was missing a limb until the day that she died. So Amar Rav, bo rei kamat tznua ishazu. Wow, what the level of tznius this woman had. Shelohikir ba baila, that her own husband didn't even realize that she was missing a limb. So Amar Rav Rabbi Chia, zu darka bakach. What do you mean? If a woman has some sort of disability, so she's going to try to cover it up as best as she can. So it's the derech of a woman to try to do that. So certainly, it's not a reflection of a religious modesty. No, but how tsanua this man was, that he didn't even realize that his wife was a balas mum. He was so uninterested in her physical appearance that he didn't even realize that she was a balas mum. That does seem to go against what our general attitude is toward a man recognizing his wife. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph, Asula Adam Sheikadeshasi isha ad shirena. A man is not allowed to be mekadesh a woman until he sees her. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden suggests, bedochak, a little bit, that it must be that for a tzanua, it's unnecessary. That halacha, that asal mekadesh isha ad shirena, is only for people who are not a tzanua. But if someone is a tzanua, then they're allowed to do so. If you look at that Gemara, where we learn that from, that's a little bit difficult to suggest such a thing. But the first story, that the fellow began to lactate, maybe the basis of the idea that one is not allowed to daven for a miracle. The halacha is that a person is, that we learned in Maseches Brachos, that it's considered a tefillas shav if a person davens al masha avar, what already happened, that something to change the past would require a miracle, and a person is not allowed to daven for a total shinoi of seder bereishis. So it could be, based on this Gemara, that you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in being Mishan of the Derech HaTeva. He created the world with Teva, and he wants it to remain that way. It could also be that the explanation is that the Gemara tells us on Shabbos Tav Lamed that Liolam Al Yamar Adam B'makom Sakana V'yomer Shiasa L'Neis Sheme Einos L'Neis V'mos L'Neis Menachem L'Mizch Yosef, that a person shouldn't rely on a miracle and put himself in danger, because even if the miracle happens, he has no idea what the cost of that miracle is in terms of how many Zechuyos he's going to lose out. And maybe that's another reason not to daven for a nes, because even if we're zocha to the nes, we don't know what the cost of that is. A third possibility, Rav Moshe writes in his famous tshuva about buying life insurance in the Gros Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Beis, Simon Kuf Yeral, where Rav Moshe famously writes that to buy life insurance is a proper business investment and does not in any which way reflect a lack of bitachon. This is something that we should be emphasizing in our generation. People keep asking what the message of the difficult times that we're going through is, and there are many, many messages, many spiritual messages, many aspirational messages, but just one very practical message is that we should all make sure that we have good life insurance. It breaks your heart. You go on the Jewish websites and you see each person that passes away where there's a link to try to raise money. Eina komets masbia asari, and you know that we're just not going to be able to raise enough to support all of these nebuch, all of these families that lost their breadwinner. So that's a sense of achrayus that a person should have toward his family to make sure that he has life insurance. But Rav Moshe in that tshuva mentions that it's a sense of gaiva for a person to believe that he's gonna have a nes. He says, what does it mean that it's a lack of bitachon? It means that you think that you're gonna live forever. He says, what kind of miracle? Who lives forever? That would be miraculous if a person lived forever. So obviously, it would be a sense of gaiva for a person to think that such a nes is going to happen to him. So maybe that's another reason why a person is not supposed to daven for a nes, because it reflects a sense of gaiva. Now, we should qualify that. There are two exceptions to not davening for a nes. One exception is, the Ramah writes in Hilchos Chanukah and in Hilchos Birchas HaMazon, that if a person forgets al anisim in Birchas HaMazon, he should recite a harachaman, that a rachaman yasal anisim in the flos, k'shem shas yisla v'seinu b'yamim meim b'zman hazeh, that a person could daven for a nes, that a person should say a harachaman, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should do nisim for us. So apparently you are allowed to daven for a nes. So already the Shari Tshuva, Simkuf Pei Zayin, brings a number of terutzim to that question, but some of the terutzim involve the difference between an individual nes and a nes for all of Klal Yisrael. That a person is always allowed to daven for a nes for Klal Yisrael, because there's no such thing as Menachem Lo Zechuyos from Klal Yisrael, that we're going to lose our Zechuyos. Adarab, Zechus Avos is Lo Tama, that we always have Zechus Avos, and Klal Yisrael as a unit always has Zechuyos. Another potential exception, at least, is that the Stipler Gaon writes in his letters that when you're davening for refuah, that refuah, even if it seems that it's going to take a miracle, as we Baruch Hashem, in amidst all the bad news, we're seeing a lot of rays of light, and we're seeing some miraculous recoveries that are described as nothing short of miraculous recoveries. That when it comes to refuah, we know so little about the human body and about what it takes for the body to have a refuah. We're just all our medical knowledge is just scratching the surface of an understanding of it. it, that it's not even really a nes, because we don't know what is and isn't a nes. So that's how the Stipler writes. Not everyone agrees with that. Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechta thinks that if the doctors tell you that, look, we're not treating this illness and he's going to die, and you know, so then at that point you stop davening for a nes, you daven instead that the family should be strong and that the fellow should be comfortable or whatever. But I would argue, at least with this coronavirus, that there's no issue of davening for refuah at any point, because we have no idea. The one thing is clear from everything is that nobody knows anything. So we clearly have no idea about how this works. You have people that they tell you they're getting better and they're fine, and then 2 hours later they're no longer in this world. And then you have people that tell you forget about it, it's over, and then you see the beautiful videos with music playing and them returning from the hospital. We have no idea. Okay, Zucharim Yotzen Levuvin. So the Mishnah had said that male animals can go out Levuvin. My Levuvin, what does the word even mean? Amravunu Tutari. It means that two of them tie together so that they don't run away. My Mashmadai Levuvin Lishan de Kruve. Who said that the word Levuvin means something that reflects closeness? Dechsivli Bavtania Chosikala. That the Paskin Shir Hashirim describing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describing Knesset Yisrael, that they have drawn me close because of through your good deeds, you've drawn me close. So how do we describe that closeness? Libaftani. Ula Amar. Ula says, no, Levuvin means something else. Or Shekoshalem Keneged Libam Kadesh Lo Yiplu Aleim Ze'evim. There was a piece of leather that they would tie on them so that when wolves would attack, they would be protected. It was like protective gear in case wolves would attack. So Ze'evim Azcharm Nafli and Nekev Slo Nafli. Then why would we only do that for the male animals and not for the female animals? We don't want to protect the females. So Mishum Damascus Bereish Adra. No, it's because the males go at the front of the flock. Ze'evim Bereish Adra Nafli, and the Ze'evim, that's where the wolves attack, at the front of the flock. So says Mar, was even Barosh Adra Nafli, Besof Adra Lo Nafli. Wait, the wolves only attack the front of the flock and not the back of the flock. Wolves will attack wherever they can. Ella Mishum Dishmane, because the male animals are fatter, and therefore they're more appealing to the Ze'evim. Ubin Nekev is like a Shamne. Are there no fat female animals? Visu Miyadi Ben Hani Lani. Furthermore, do the Ze'evim know when they're attacking, they're putting every animal they're attacking on a scale? Oh, this one could stand to gain a few pounds. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. And the next one, no, they're just attacking, and they'll attack whatever animal they see. They're not going to be interested in whether the animal is overweight. No, the real reason that it's only for the Zecharim is because the Zecharim walk in a different way. They walk lifting their nose up, and they look from side to side, and therefore the Ze'evim, it's a threatening pose to the Ze'evim. So they attack because they feel that they're being threatened, whereas the Nekevos go in a more tsanua way that doesn't threaten the Ze'evim. A third explanation of Levuvim, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, or Shekoshalim Tachas Achrusim Kadei Shelo Yalu on Nekevos. It's a piece of leather that they would tie over the male member of the animal so that the male will not mount the female. Mimai, Midiktani Seifa Varechelim Yotzo Shechuzos. Mai Shechuzos, what does Shechuzos mean? Sheochzina Al Yishalem Lamaila. That Shechuzos means that they would tie the tail of the female up to promote mating. So it seems that if that's what Shechuzos means, then Levuvin probably relates to some sort of mating issue as well. So Reisha Kadesh Loyal and Kevos, Seifa Kadesh Yalu Alein Zecharim. The Reisha is that to protect it from being Olal and Kevos, and the Seifa of what they do to the Kevos is to encourage that the male should mount the female. May Mash Medai Shechuzos Lishon de Galuyahu. How do we know the word Shechuzos? Now once we mention Shechuzos, even though the primary discussion of here was about Levuvin, how do we know that the word Shechuzos means to expose? Because that's what we're saying. You take the female's tail and lift it up and expose the female. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, V'yine, isha lekraso, Sheis zona v'nitzaris lev. So the erva is the erva zona, meaning that it's ragil to have gilui erva. And so since he uses the term shis zona, that's an utricum of shechuzos. So we see that shechuzos is a lashon of exposing the area of the erva. Now we said a rechelim yotzos kivulos, that the rechelim could go out kivulos. My kivulos. What does that mean? Shemechal ben al yeshalem lamata kadesh lo yal Halu Alein Zacharim. That's when they tie the tail down so that males won't mount it. My Mashmadai Kava Lishna Delo Avid Pirihu. Where do you ever see that the word Kavulos means that which does not produce fruit, meaning that which does not produce offspring? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says when Chiram talks about the cities, the 20 cities that Shlomo HaMelech gave him, Shlomo HaMelech gave him 20 cities as a Hakaras HaTov for all of the Arzei Levanon that he provided him with in order to help in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So when Chiram was unhappy with those cities, he says, Maha Ha'arma Eila Asher Nasata Liachi V'yikolem Eretz Kovul Adei Yom Hazeh. He calls it Eretz Kovul. My Eretz Kovul Amarvun Shaiba B'nei Adam Shemuchubalim B'kesef V'zav. So first we think Eretz Kovul means that it's just a bunch of people that are busy with gold and silver, all they have, they're wealthy people. So Amar Le Rava Iyachi Haynu D'chsev V'lo Yashu Be'enav Mebrei Shemuchubalim B'kesef V'zav V'lo Yashu Be'enav. That's what the Pasuk says, that he wasn't happy about it. What, everyone was rich? Apparently it was a really great city. Why wasn't he happy about these cities? Everyone was wealthy there. You could probably collect a lot of taxes there. Now, these are people that were spoiled, and because they're spoiled, they're unlikely to do work, and he needed people to work for him. His problem, when he described it as an Eretz Kovel, it means it had a very nutrient-rich ground, but it was like a lot of salt and a lot of natural salts in the ground that do not lend itself to producing peiros, and there were cracks in the ground. So that's what he was unhappy about. Why does he call it kavel? Because a person when he would walk in the ground, it was so muddy, his feet would sink up until his ankles. So that's why it's called kavel, from the lashon of the ankle. It's an Eretz Kavula, people say. It's a common phrase that people use. When they call a place an Eretz Kavula, it means a place that doesn't produce peros. So that's what Kavul means. Kavul means on the animal that they would make it, that it would discourage mating, meaning so it's not going to produce peros, and on the land as well, just like Chiram was complaining about the lands that Shlomo HaMelech gave him, it means that it's not going to produce peros. And then the Mishnah had said that the Rechelim can go out Kivunos. So my Kivunos, what does Kivunos mean? Shemichabnos of the melas, that they tie a beged around it on the day that it's born to keep its wool absolutely pristine. Kiditna, and the Mishnah tells us Maseches Negayim, when it discusses the maros of Negayim, I guess somewhat of Daf Yomi coincidence, we just read about that this past week. Se'es katzemer lavan, my tzemer lavan. What does it mean that a se'es is the color of tzemer lavan, that kind of nega looks like tzemer lavan? What kind of tzemer lavan? Amar Rabbi Barbai, kitzemer naki ben yomo shemichabin also lemelas, that it's like that pure pristine wool of that animal that has been protected, whose wool has been protected from the very day that it was born. Meaning dafka by the negayim of tzaras, you can't just say white. There are a million different shades of white. You know, when it comes to, let's say, ksamim, the halachas of a kesem, so the halach is that if a kesem is found on a beget savua, nida dafna zayin, if it's found on a beget savua, then it's not going to be a problem. So what's a beget savua? Anything that's not white. So I always tell Hassan, like, how do you define white? What if it's ivory? What if it's off-white? What if it's beige? What if it, right? How do you define what's called white? So generally speaking, we say, whatever a man calls white is white. You know, if a woman will have a lot of different names for different, but if a man would look at it and say, okay, it's a pretty yeshivish shirt, right? So that's it. So that's the definition of white. But by negayim, we don't say it like that. By negayim, it's always, there are so many different shades, and each one means something else. Vayizim yotzim tzuru. We said that we had a machlokas in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama said that the goats can go out with something covering their udders. Rabbi Yossi said that that's aser, and Rabbi Yehuda says if it's liyavesh, it's mutter. If it's tied on so tightly that it's going to dry up all the milk and it's going to make it that the goat is no longer going to be able to produce milk, that's going to be mutter. But if it's just to catch whatever milk is coming out, that's going to be aser. So how do we paskin? 3 dayos over here. So itmar. Rav Amar Alacha Rabbi Yehuda. Now we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda the difference between when it's liyavesh and when it's just to catch whatever excess milk there is. So we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel Amar Halach Rabbi Yossi, that even if it's liyavesh, it's also that you can't have a goat go out with these covers on their udders. And some have this machlokas Rav and Shmuel without connecting it to the Tanoim in our Mishnah, but very simply that Rav Amar liyavesh mutar v'lo l'chalav, and Shmuel Amar echad zeh v'echad zeh aser. Same shitos, but without attaching it to the Tanaim in our Mishnah, just saying it straight out as a psak halacha. Why would they ever do that? So Tosfos point, meaning if it was a machlokas Tanaim, doesn't the Gemara normally say name a katanoi, meaning why are you Amoraim pretending that this is your machlokas? This machlokas predates you by the generations of the Tanaim. So Tosfos points out that whenever you have a Mishnah where the shitos of the Tanaim, there are multiple versions of the Mishnah, and the shitos of the Tanaim are flipped in some of the versions, so then it's unhelpful to say, I passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Which version of Rabbi Yehuda? In one version, Rabbi Yehuda passings this way, the other version, he passings the other way. So then the Amoraim have to be more clear about what they actually hold, lehalacha. Right? Someone in today's Yom Atzmut, someone's going to say, I hold like Rav Soloveitchik about Halal and Yom Atzmut. Ooh, which version of Rav Soloveitchik? He has Talmidim across the spectrum that swear up and down that he held every single Shita that there is about Halal and Yom Atzmut. So a person has to know, to say what you actually hold. You have to say what the halacha is in those situations. And some say that the psak that Shmuel Paskin related to the following brisa, izim yotzes shrus liyabish of lola chalav, that you can send out the goats with the udder, with the covering of their udders only if it's tightly tied on to dry up the milk, but not to catch the milk. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda b'Seira amru kach halacha, that's really the halacha mi'ikra din avol mi meifis, but who's going to be able to make a lottery to figure out a girl to figure out ezel liyabish ezel lechalav, which of the udder covers are there to dry it up, and which are the ones that are just there to catch the milk. When we talk Shein Makirin, and since anyone who looks at these goats would never be able to tell what the function of the covering of the udder is, Echadze v'echadze aser. We just have to make a low plug and make it aser for everybody. So Amr Shmuel, v'amri l'amr avidu Amr Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But it was in that context that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says that they're all going to be aser, not mi'ikra din, they're all going to be aser, simply because we can't be mavchin between one and the other. Tosfos points out, why doesn't he just paskin like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who also says that it's aser? He also asered when it's even when it's their liyavesh. So Tosfos points out because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi would disagree in a place where that where no one puts covers on their animals' udders to catch milk, where the only function is liyavesh. So then there's no marasayin. No one's going to think, going to get confused about what the function of that udder cover is. So that's in that case the Brisa version of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is going to say that it's mutter, whereas just paskin directly like Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, it would still be asu, because Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah held it was asu meikar adin. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha ketanakama. He said like that, the halacha is that the tanakama, that it's mutter in either way, that it's mutter whether it's there liyavesh or whether it's there for the chalav. Okay, new Mishnah as far as what a gamal is allowed to go out with on Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, Obama ein yotza, what can an animal not go out with on Shabbos? So lo yetze gamal bimitul teles. A gamal cannot go out with a small pillow that they would put under its tail because we're afraid that it might fall down and then you're going to pick it up and you're going to carry it. And also lo akud, it cannot go out while it is akud. We're going to some sort of binding, but we're going to have to discuss in the Gemara what that means. Binding what to what? Velo ragel, it also can't go out with the bottom of its leg tied up to the top of its leg, meaning bending it at the joint and tying the bottom to the top so that it's unable to functionally use that leg. V'chein shar kol ha-behemos. And it's not only gamalim, it's all animals that have that limitation. Lo yikshar gamalim zeh b'zeh. You're also not allowed to tie two different camels together, v'yimshoch, and pull them by a leash. And then, you know, you pull the first one, the other ones follow, because they're all tied together. Aval machnis chavalim l'toch yado v'yimshoch. But you could put the ropes in your head. You can't lead the first camel directly, but you could put the ropes that are attached to each camel all together in your hand and pull it that way. But what you cannot do is wrap the ropes around your hand as you are pulling the camels. So Tana, lo yetzah gamal b'metelesak shurilo. We said the Brisa tells us that gamal can't go out with the metulteles, with this little cushion that is tied on biznovo, that's tied onto its tail, because that's still not secure enough. We're afraid afraid it might fall off, and then you're gonna end up carrying it. But if you tie it on really well, you tie it both to the tail and to the hump of the camel, then we assume it's tied on well enough that it's not going to easily fall off, and then you can have the camel go out with it. That also, if it's tied on to the shilia, to the placenta of the animal, or the place where the animal would give birth, so in such a case, it would be very painful if it fell off of the animal, and therefore, it's not going to come off. Lo akud v'lo ragul. Then we said that the gamel can't go out akud or ragul. Amar Rav Yehuda, akud akedas yad v'regel. Akud means that you take one of the forelegs and one of the hind legs and bind them together. Ki Yitzchak ben Avram, because that's what Akedas Yitzchak was. That's the definition of Akud. The pasuk says V'yakaras Yitzchak beno, and it means Rashi over there writes that it means that Yadav Raglav Lachar. He took the yad and the regel and he tied them together, and then he put his neck back to do the shechita. It sounds that by Yitzchak was Yadayim Viraglaim, was both, and that way it stretched out and he stretched out his neck for shechita. The Meiri, though, brings a medrash that Yitzchak was nekad yadayim v'raglayim yachad, which makes it sound like all four were together. And that's what the Ritva writes. The Ritva says it's a little bit odd. The Gemara says akud yad v'regel, the animal must be able to walk. So akud yad v'regel must only mean on one side. So when we say it's ki Yitzchak ben Avram, it doesn't mean really mamish ki Yitzchak ben Avram. It means somewhat like akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, in that hind legs and four legs were tied to each other. So Yitzchak also, his hands and his legs were tied to each other. Ragul shelo yachav yad al gabei zra'o v'yikshar. That ragul is the yad on the on its own upper part of the leg, and they tie it together so that it's only able to use three of its legs, and therefore it walks. If you ever see a three-legged dog walk, it's not able to run that fast, so it slows down the animal. So it's not going to run away. So Meisvei says Gemara, but wait, akut shtei yadayim ushtei raglayim v'ragel shloyachav yadol gabizro v'yikshar. So wait a second, the Brisa tells us that akut means that we tie the two yadayim together, or the two raglayim together, meaning we either tie the two forelegs together or the two hind legs together, not foreleg to hind leg. And ragul ishliach v'yadol gabizro v'yikshar, like we said. So says Gemara, yeah, hu damar ki aitana. Rav Yehuda is assuming like this time the following brisa. D'tanya akud akedas yad v'regel, o shtei yadayim ushtei raglayim, ragul shloyach v'yadol gabizro v'yikshar. That akud can mean all those things. It could mean tying yad to a regel, or it could mean tying the two yadayim together, or the two raglayim together. And then ragul means that you tie up one leg on itself. V'akati lo dami, says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehuda still doesn't fit the brisa, because bishlam and reisha, I understand very well the reisha where it says that akedas yad v'regel means akud v'seifa, and also when by ragul it defines ragul nicha, that all fits. But mitziyasa, but then the brisa added this second definition of abud, of just tying the two forelegs together, or just tying the two hind legs together, and that doesn't fit. So kasha, that's a kasha. Rav Yehuda never said that. Elohu damar ki aitan. Rav Yehuda must be assuming like the tana of a different brisa, that akud akedas yad v'regel ki Yitzchak ben Avram, ragul shloyach v'yado al gavizro v'yikshar. And that's what the Brisa says explicitly, like Rabbi Yehuda's definition, that akud means dafka, foreleg and hind leg, and ragul means tying up that one leg on itself. But leaving out that middle definition of akud, of just tying the two forelegs together, or the two hind legs together. V'lo yikshar gemalim. Then we said, you're not allowed to tie camels. My taima, why can't you tie your camels together and lead them? Sam ravashi mishum demechsi kamanda azal l'chinna. Because that's a maris ayin. It looks like you're going out to the market. So what? It looks like you're going out to the market. Going out to the market, you're going to be doing business, and it's also to do business on Shabbos. There's an iser of mekach u'memker on Shabbos. So it's a maris ayin of mekach u'memker. The Ramah in Yerodeah in Simon Pei Zayin has a big chiddush as far as the dinim of maris ayin, and he writes that maris ayin only applies to dinim d'oraisa, but maris ayin does not apply to dinim d'rabbanan. So he says if you're going to use almond milk, where everyone's going to think it's real milk and you're going to put it next to chicken, you don't have to worry about marisayin that it looks like you're mixing basar b'chalav, because anyway, chicken is only chicken and milk is only nisid rabbanan, and there's no marisayin, you're not nisid rabbanan. But if you're going to have almond milk together with meat, then you better have some almonds around, so that, or the container that says almond milk in big letters on it, so that everyone could realize that you're not having real milk, because that would be a genuine marisayin problem. The Rama writes in Yaradeya, the Marshal in Yamshel Shlomo in the Seches Chul in the 8th Perek says that Adraba, there's a bigger marisayin on a drabanan. He says if you're going to have milk together with meat, everyone's going to say, no, there's no way that guy's eating milk together with meat. This is Daraisa, right? So everyone's going to realize that it's almond milk, but you can have it together with basar oaf, where it's only nisid rabbanan. People say, oh, okay, so maybe he's not such a rabbinic Jew, you know, he's not so religious. So it becomes a greater sense of maris ha'ayin. And in fact, the Shach on the side of Yerodeya and Sifkat and Vav over there and Simon Pei Zayin says that everyone passes like the Marshal, that all the Achronim are Machriya against the Rama like the Marshal. And one of the Rayas is our Gemara, not this line in the Gemara. The Shach actually quotes a line a little bit later in the Gemara. Might as well be this line though. I mean, the point is that any time that you're going to do something that's going to be maris ha'ayin, even on a din d'rabbanan over here, that's the whole issue, that people are going to think that you're going to do business itself is only nisid rabbanan, and yet we still have maris ha'ayin on nisid rabbanan. Avul machlis, we then said, but you can put the ropes and pull the rope that are holding the that are connected to the camels and pull the ropes. Some ravashi lo shanu elin yaklayim. This is talking about the issue of klayim. So klayim d'may. What do you mean klayim? Klayim comes in many different forms. You could have kilei zra'im, where you plant two different things next to each other. You could have klayim of leading two animals together that have a different minim. You could have shatnis in a beged. So there are all different sorts of klayim. So what kind of klayim are we talking about? Ilim klayim to adam. Maybe you can say that it's a klayim that the person is walking together with the camel and they're tied together. So that's the klayim, that it's like taking two different kinds of animals together. Shor v'chamor yachtav. So says Merav Atanan, adam mutarim kulam. No, lachrosh v'limshoch. That a person is not included in that isra of klayim. A person is not considered like a shor or a chamor, where it's an isra of klayim to go with another animal. Ella klayim d'chavalim. No, it must be that the ropes themselves are klayim, that part of the ropes are made out of wool and some of them are made out of pishtan, and when you wrap them together, you're wrapping the wool and the linen together, and that's going to be an issue of klayim. V'atnan, but the Mishnah says in the 9th paragraph of Sechs Klayim, atokif tkifa achas eino chibur, that if a person has only one stitch that holds the two together, the wool and the linen together, that's not considered a chibur, that's not considered to be shatness. So says Mara, so putting these two ropes in your hand should not be a problem, because they're not really held tight, they're not really connected to each other. Says Gemara, liolam klayim dechavalim. Now we are talking about the klayim of the ropes. V'achikamar v'vach le'yichroch v'yikshar. Don't tie a double knot. If you tie a double knot, that's already more than one connection, and that's going to be a real issue of klayim. So that's one issue as far as the ropes are concerned, the issue of shatness. Amar Shmuel, says Shmuel, another issue. U'vach le'yitzi chevel mitachz yado tefach. The rope should also not protrude out of your hand by a tefach. When you're walking with the leash, hold the end of the leash. If you're holding the leash in such a way where there's a tefach of leash going out of your hand, that's going to be a problem because it's going to, if for someone who just looks at you, if the animal's far away from you and they just see you holding this leash, it's going to look like you're just holding a leash. It's not going to look like you're it's connected to any animal. But the Braisa by the Beis Medrash of Shmuel taught that tefachayim, that it's only two tefachim that you have to worry about, not one tefach. Amar Abaye, Hashad Amar Shmuel tefach, V'tanu D'Beis Shmuel tefachayim. Well, if we know, we have on good authority that Shmuel himself said one tefach, and his base medrash issued a psak that it's two tefachim. Shmuel alach l'maisa salashminan. It must be. Now, when someone asks a shayla, you say, don't even allow it to go a tefach, mitachas yado, because it was like a geder that Shmuel made, that people will end up being too makel. If you tell them the real halacha, that it's tefachayim, they'll end up being too makel. They'll have a very makel shear of a tefach. Or so the safest way is you tell them one tefach, and then you know that it's not going to be more than tefachayim. V'atanyo, b'vachay agbiya minakarka, but doesn't the Braisa tell us, b'vachay agbiya minakarka tefach, it has to be one tefach off of the ground, so it sounds like there's no isser if it's one tefach out of your hand. You just have to make sure that it's a tefach, that it's not dragging on the ground, and that it's a tefach off of the ground. No, kitanya hi bechavad debeni beni. Now, that's not talking about the part of the leash that's protruding out of your hand. That's talking about the part of the leash that's between you and the animal. That if it's, it shouldn't have so much give that that it's less than a tefach off of the ground. That's what that. So that's a separate price about a different part of the leash. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, ein chamor yotzev imardas b'zman shein k'shur lo. A chamor cannot go out with the cloth over its back when it's not tied on Erev Shabbos. We already learned that it has to be tied on Erev Shabbos. V'lo b'zug afal pishu pakuk. And it can't go out with a bell, even if the bell is closed up and it's not mashmiya kol. V'lo b'sulam shabbat savaro. It's not allowed to go out with the ladder that's on its neck. This was something that was used, the Gemara is going to explain, to straighten the animal's neck so it wouldn't be able to reach behind to scratch itself, to bite itself. V'lo b'ritzua shabaraglo, nor can it go with the strap on its leg. V'ena tarnagolim yotzim b'chutin, and tarnagolim cannot go out with the strings that are tied to it, that are wrapped around it. V'lo b'ritzua shabaraglim, nor the straps on their legs. The Gemara is going to explain all of these things. V'ena zecharim yotzim ba'agolda shetachas ha'al yashalehen, and the rams cannot go out with the wagon that goes underneath their tails. V'ena, because in order to protect their tails from dragging on the ground, they have these very large tails, so it could scratch up their tails. So they have a wagon that goes underneath their tails to protect them. Ve'ena rechelim yotzus chanunos, ve'ena egel yotzu begi, and the rechelim cannot go out chanunos. Gemara will explain what that means. Ve'ena egel yotzu begimon, and the egel cannot go out with a little bit of a little yoke that's on its neck. Ve'lo para ba'ara kupar, and the para cannot go out with the ara kupar, something that they would tie on its udders in order to keep shratzim away from its udders. Ve'lo beritzua shabin kranel, nor can a para go out with the strap in between its horns. So says the Mishnah, Parasa Shalbaz ben Azariah is Yotze Bertzua Shabin Kranela, Shalobertan Chachamim. But the para of Rablaz ben Azariah went out that way, and the Chacham were not happy with Rablaz ben Azariah allowing his para to go out that way. The Gemara is going to elaborate on that as well. So my time, well, what's the reason? Over here, my time, it doesn't mean what's the reason based on the answer. The Gemara's answer is Kida Amaran, that meaning what we're really asking is, what's the situation where it's us? So we're saying with the Mardas, so we're saying, oh, well, like we already learned the sugya and Daf Nun Gimel about the Mardas, that it has to be tied May Erev Shabbos. So Eino Kshura means that it's not Kshura May Erev Shabbos. Even if you tied it on Shabbos, not good enough. It's not going to be able to go out that way. That's what the Rashash points out, that my taima over here doesn't mean what my taima almost always means in the Gemara. V'lo b'zug afal pi shuhu pakuk, nor can it go out with a bell, even if it's closed up. Mishum de Mexi, commandos l'chilina, because it looks like you're going out. That's where the Shach quotes that line of the Gemara, because it looks like you're going out to do business, which is an Issa d'Rabbanan, so it's a Marisayin. V'lo b'sulam shabbat savaru, nor the ladder on its neck. Amrav huna beloa, that it's by its jaw, that are tied to the jaw. It's these pieces of wood that are tied to the jaw of the donkey. May avdilei lehecha dislei maka de lo hadr chayich bei, and it was made just in case the animal has a wound and it wants to scratch the wound by trying to scratch it with its teeth, so it won't be able to move its head in order to do so, and therefore it won't further injure itself. V'lo b'ritzua shabaraglo, da'avdile l'gizra. What's the ritzua on its leg that they make it in order to... if an animal, his legs are banging against each other because it has very short strides, so it protects the legs from banging against each other. This was just a simon that the owner of chickens would put on his chickens so that he could identify which ones are his. It's meaning like we'd put on luggage or something when you're looking to identify, right? So you put on, all the chickens look the same, so you'd have a string on it, you know, a rainbow string or something, or a red string that would identify it as yours. Not with the ritzua, because they would do it so that they wouldn't be able, the ritzua that they would tie on it was a short strap, so that it's not unable to lift up its legs too much, because then it could break kalim by stomping on them. And what's this wagon that the rams had? Like we said before, that the tail shouldn't get scratched. And the rechelim can't go out chanunos. What does chanunos mean? mean? Says Gemara, four explanations. Yosef Ravacha Barula Kamed Rav Chisav Yosef Ka'amar Misha Shegozno Santom La Azok, that from the moment they shear its wool, so the animal get very cold. So what they do is they take a piece of very fine wool and they soak it in oil umanichal al padacht, and they put it over the forehead of the animal so that it shouldn't become too cold. So we give it like a spa therapy so that it shouldn't become too cold. So Amar Rav Chista imkena sisa marukva. Wow, you treat your animals like a marukva. Marukva was a very chashuv yid, both in terms of his Torah as well as the fact that he was an ashir, he was an av beis din. So you're pampering the animal like you would treat marukva. So that's ridiculous. So Ella says Amar a second possibility. Ella Yosef Bar Papa Bar Shmuel Kamed Rav Chista Yosef Kamar Bishas Shakras Lele Tom Lashnei Azakin Shal Shemed. When it's giving birth, we dip two soft things in oil. And that's where we need to warm it up by putting one on its forehead and one by the rechem. Okay, so now you're not treating it like a very chashuva male. Now you're treating it like a very chashuva human female, like Yalta. Because again, such a spa treatment for an animal. Ella Amravuna, third possibility. That there was this piece of wood that they would put by its nose that would cause it to sneeze, and when it sneezes, all of the lice would come out of its head. So why do we only do that for the females? So we don't do that for the males because the males are always goring each other, so that takes care of that problem for the males. They don't need to sneeze. Shimon Nazira Amar Kisma Deritma. A fourth possibility, it's a splinter of rotem wood that they would put by its nose. So Bishlam Rav Huna Hainu Diktani Chanuno. So I understand why Rav Huna would have a lashon of chanunos, because the lashon of chanun, it's a lashon, right? Rav Huna and Shimon Nazir, which are really the same idea, that they would cause it to sneeze, it's because it's a rachmanos on the animal. So I get why it's called chanunos. El Rabbanon, my chanunos. Why would the Rabbanon call it chanunos? That we do something for it because we have rachmanos on it to warm it up at a time of need. So that's why it's called chanunos. Meaning Rav Huna said that they would put something by its nose from, I'm sorry, Rav Huna was the only one that made sense, not even Shimon Nazira, because Rav Huna said that it was a piece of wood called a chanun. So that's why I understand why it's called chanunos. But what about the rest? So the Gemara's answer is that the rest of them reflect a sense of rachmanos, reflect a sense of chanun. Just another couple of lines. Ve'ena egel yotze begimon. An egel can't go out with a gimon. My egel begimon. What does that mean? Am Rav Huna bar nira means a small ol, a small yoke that they would put on the neck of the egel in order that it should get used to bending its head when it gets older. Amar Rav Lazar, my mash medai gimon lishna de mechav. Where do we see that the lashon of gimon means that which is bent over? Dechsiv halachov ka'agmon rosho. The navi gives a tochan yishayo. That is there any toelas for a person to bend his head like an agmon if he's not going to also do tshuva? The navi, as the navi often does, was giving mussar that we go through all these motions, but if you don't do sincere tshuva, all of the motions that you go through aren't going to mean anything. So you're going to hold your head low, and it doesn't mean anything unless there's actually belave, unless the person actually does sincere tshuva. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Velo Ba'ar Para Ba'ar Akupar on the first medium-sized line. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Ben, I'm going to answer your question here in the chat, so if you stick around.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, everyone, have a great day.